Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
My guest today is Lisa Arnold. She's a producer, a director, a writer, and I know that most of you have probably seen her award-winning film, God's Not Dead. She wrote and directed and produced This Is Our Time and Letting Go, as well as producing God's Not Dead. She is a lady with many talents, lots of energy, and a lot of wisdom. And I appreciate her taking time to talk with us today about a new movie that we want to encourage you to take a look at. It's called Caged No More. Lisa, if you would, just tell us briefly what Caged No More is about.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. So Caged No More is a fictitious story. It takes you on quite a ride, and it takes you into the world of human trafficking. But mm-hmm. I don't want you to think it's too heavy for you to see. There are many times in this film that you will laugh. Loretta Devine does a fabulous job for us. You will cry at times, and you will completely gasp at times because we'll take you on twists that you did not see coming. It, as a filmmaker, it is my job to make this film an entertainment for my audience. But beyond that, I wanted to do something that really sets us up to create a movement from this film. You know, when my partner and I, Jared Coates, found out about how prevalent trafficking is in the U.S., we just really felt compelled to do something about it. So this is a film that will not only entertain and engage you, but it will, in essence, equip you and give you a little bit of wisdom about what's happening with trafficking and how we need to fight it and how we need to get the conversation started so we can protect our children, most importantly.
Wow. Well, that's a very ambitious scope of undertaking, but I think it's tremendous, and I appreciate so much your concern for this subject. This is one that I know firsthand as far as dealing with kids who have been pimped by parents and suffered horrible abuse because literally people who were supposed to be their protectors and their providers instead chose to be their pimps and exploit them. And the wounds that result are just really horrible. The good news is that God is able to bring healing and deliverance. And I'm so grateful that you have taken on this very challenging subject. Right here in my state of Tennessee, in early June, the USA Today, June 9th, reported that in Greenville, Tennessee, a 63-year-old Johnson City man who had been convicted of selling his daughters, ages 12, 14, and 16, to a man who raped and used them in child pornography, was finally sentenced to life in prison. And I'm grateful, since we don't use capital punishment for such a crime, that he at least got life in prison. And I hope it's without the possibility of parole, because a person like that should never see the light of day again.
You know, it is such a horrific act, and you're right that so many times these children are betrayed by someone they know.
Yes.
Many times it's the parents, or it's a relative in some way, or it's a friend.
Yes.
And but not only that, and I hate, you know, you don't want to say that that's the only way it happens, because it's not. And that's what I want audiences to understand. If you feel like, well, I, you know, live in a great, safe community and this would never affect me, you're so wrong.
Right.
One of our executive producers of this project was on a very wonderful vacation in Destin, Florida, and his daughter was targeted.
Oh.
They had to call in the FBI and you know, protect her.
Yes.
And it can happen to any child at any time. The pimps have gotten so smart. I spoke with a family out in California where they were on just a, you know, a holiday in their area. It was July 4th celebration. The whole community was out.
Mm-hmm.
The parents were right there with their children.
Yes.
Their daughter was approached by another girl who just complimented her on her outfit and said she was new to the area and really needed help trying to find, you know, her way around.
Mm-hmm.
And so she talked the girl right in front of the parents to exchanging numbers and agreeing to meet up.
Mm-hmm.
They met up the next day at the mall, and that daughter was taken.
Mm.
And in 23 hours, she was raped and beaten. Her appearance completely changed.
Mm-hmm.
She was drugged, and she was thrown out on the street for prostitution.
Yeah.
And it was only by the grace of God that someone pointed her out and said, this girl doesn't belong here, that she was returned to her family. Many times they would not have stayed in that community. They
right.
would have been gone within that 24 hours. And as you know, I mean, the police can't even respond for 24 hours because they treat it as a runaway.
Yep.
So these are things that are happening to our children, especially through social media. There's such great risk attached to that. So number one with this film, our goal is prevention and to start that conversation in the home. And that's why we spent so much time creating a film that things are suggested, they're not shown.
Mm-hmm.
It is a very, you know, the movie, I don't know if you've seen it yet or not, but, you know, you're not going to cringe at things like this in the movie. You know, we've made it where a parent can take their 12 and 13 and 14-year-old to this film because in the U.S., 10 to 13-year-old boys are greatest at risk and 11 to 14-year-old girls.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how early the conversation needs to happen.
Amen. Amen. Now, the film is rated PG-13 because of the mature themes, and there's some violence. But as you suggested, and I think this is you did it very well, there are things that are suggested in the film rather than shown. You're able to tell the story, make it clear what's going on without graphically giving you something you can't unsee.
Right.
And I appreciate that.
Right, and it was so important. It was so important to us because for us to accomplish what we're trying to do, that needed to happen.
Yeah.
And so kids go to this movie and they're just entertained. They don't, you know, they're not really grasping it. They're really just thinking they're watching a movie and being entertained. And then at the end of it, you understand, wow, I just heard true statistics about trafficking, and it is happening in my own backyard, and this could happen to me. So we are equipping parents to then go home and have that conversation. What is trafficking? How are my children at risk?
Mm-hmm.
What can we do about it? And we're equipping churches with our 4-week study guide that's completely free to any church that you can download on our website and take it further. What does the Bible say about trafficking? You know, trafficking is nothing more than a modern day form of slavery.
Right.
So what does the Bible say about that? What does the Bible say about honoring women and children? So we are trying every way we can to equip you and get you to understand and start using all of us to raise awareness. You know, I'm a filmmaker, so I chose this way to raise awareness. You're on the radio. You can use social media and your voice to raise awareness.
Mm-hmm.
But teachers can go to their principals and say, we need to do, you know, a great awareness campaign at our school about this. Pastors can talk about it in their church and make sure that their youth are being learning about this and understanding it and understanding the risk. All of us can do something. And that's the big call to action.
We all have
a voice. We can all use our influence to make a difference.
Now, as a filmmaker, you are a storyteller. And, of course, Jesus used stories over and over and over in his teaching. And if you read the scripture rightly, you will see that it's not just a book that is filled with stories from Genesis to Revelation, but that it is, in a very real way, one grand story. It is the story of a God who has redeemed his fallen creation, who loved the world so much that he gave his son. But I appreciate the fact that your approach to this was not just to make a documentary. Because even though documentaries can have value, you knew that the way to connect with people is through story. We're wired for that. And so you came at this with a motive to do something about the problem, but the tool that you used is the gifting that God gave you, and that is to be able to tell a story really well. And as a director, that involved a team of people. Tell us about some of the other actors in the film, and particularly what it was like to work with Loretta Devine.
Oh, absolutely. Well, she is truly divine. There's no other way to describe Loretta. And she came at this film with such compassion and dedication. You know, she wanted to make sure she did it justice, and we wanted to set her up. You know, she is such a hero in this film. Mm-hmm. You know, she never gives up, and she is, even though I wouldn't call this a faith film, so to speak, it's really more about the social justice, but her particular character is a strong woman of faith, and she never gives up and never wavers and stands in faith no matter what the circumstances tell her. And then we have Kevin Sorbo, who, when I first sent him this script, he's like, "Lisa, I love the script, but what are you saying about me that I can play this part?" So
now let's clarify, because our viewers don't know. What, tell us, Kevin's part in this film is not just a villain. He's like the villain of villains.
He is, absolutely. But he plays twin brothers, so he plays a good character and a bad character. And so as an actor, it was just a gold mine for him, you know, such a win to have, you know, such diversity in your performance. And so he does a fantastic job. I mean, literally makes my skin crawl at certain points in that film. And Loretta brought me to tears twice. I had to walk away from set and compose myself for a moment, you know, with her performance. And same with Cassidy Gifford. Cassidy was so dedicated to the calling of raising a voice against trafficking, and so is her mother, Kathy Lee. I mean, Kathy Lee committed to helping this film before Cassidy was even cast. And so that shows you their true heart and how much they believe in fighting this injustice.
Yes.
And, you know, we have cameos from Natalie Grant, who's been fighting this injustice for over a decade. Mm-hmm. Gretchen Carlson, who's done so many stories about it on Fox News and continues to raise a voice for this. And even Governor Bobby Jindal, which where I'm from in Louisiana, he did such a great job of, you know, implementing government to fight this injustice. Mm-hmm. So we have so many champions that came on board with this film way beyond their gifting, and that's what I love about this film. It seems to bring out the best in everyone. It seems to bring out, you know, the hero in everyone. They see this film and then they become compelled. I can't tell you how many times when we were in the theaters that it was just a standing ovation afterwards, and people just feel, you know, the call to action. I mean, they understand that it's up to us. It's up to all of us. So we've all got to raise our voice in this fight.
That's excellent. That's excellent. Well, I appreciate that. And I appreciate the fact that obviously the Lord used you to help bring together this remarkable team, but it was done in such a way that you could tell it was God at work because he made it happen. He brought the folks together and really got people on board. Now, you in this, Loretta plays the part of Aggie, who is a grandmother. She discovers that her two granddaughters have been kidnapped by Kevin Sorbo's character. I mean, I cannot imagine, I can only try to imagine, the horrible feeling that would come when that news settles into you. I was privileged to be in the Rose Garden at the White House back when former President Bush signed into law the Amber Alert Bill. And I was surrounded by dignitaries, people who deserve to be there. And I was particularly moved by the families of people who'd been through this, people who had lost a child to kidnapping, in some cases, children who ended up killed. In other cases, the smart girl was there with her parents, having been restored to her family. But again, you look around and you see survivors of a nightmare that is just impossible to fathom. I mean, it's just so horrible. To convey that on film, to be able to tell that story, that had to be a real challenge for all the people involved, not just for you as a director, but then for them as actors, to be able to bring this tastefully and yet powerfully to the screen so that people understand this is not just somebody's imaginary nightmare. This is a nightmare that people are living all the time. You mentioned the stats on this, and you share some of the stats in the film. 27 million people and nearly 2 million children trapped in sexual slavery. That's just overwhelming.
Right. And, you know, as I speak to so many of these amazing men and women that are going out and rescuing these kids and bringing restoration, one of the things that a particular Tony Sparks from Phantom Rescue told me, he said, "Lisa, it's not going to end, and this is why. This is why it's the fastest growing crime in the world, because a drug can be sold once, and a child or a woman can be sold, you know, up to 50 times in one day."
Mm-hmm.
And that's the horrific truth that we are facing.
Absolutely.
And that's why it's not going to come to an end. And as long as there is a demand, there's going to be, you know, women and children that are taken to fill that demand.
Yeah.
So we have to do everything we can. We've teamed up with over 500 anti-trafficking orgs to bring out this film, and they all said the same thing. You know, it's just been so helpful to them because, like you pointed out, documentaries are harsh and hard to watch. But this kind of sets you up in a non-threatening, fictitious way to experience it without it being so horrific, but then you bring it in with a call to action. So we're very appreciative that it's been so well received.
Mm-hmm.
We've been honored by so many people, and I truly tell you, I've never been thanked so many times for
making
a film.
Praise
God. It's definitely been a hard road to walk, and something I wasn't, you know, 3 years ago, I had no idea trafficking even existed in the U.S., to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
So this wasn't something that I set out to be a part of. It just, God kind of put it in my path, and I found it. And now we're just trying to do anything and everything we can. So that's why we're equipping so much. If you go to our website, cagenomoremovie.com, not only can you get information on how to get the film, but also we have free resources. You know, how do you look for trafficking? It's happening right before our eyes, you know, and so we have to be able to see the signs of it. How do you talk to your teenagers about it? We have the 4-week study guide for churches that they can use. And then we're doing the live event tour to take it even farther, because communities were calling out to us going, please come and talk to us about this. So we're going, whether it's hosted by a church, a school, a university, or an organization, we go into these cities, we use the film, everyone sees the film, and then we have a panel discussion afterwards and talk about what is trafficking, and particularly how is it happening in your community, and what can we do to resource all the organizations that are around you, because you know, the rescue is the flashy part, and it gets the news coverage, but
right.
It's the restoration that takes so much time and resources.
Amen.
Because these women and children need to be restored physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and you're talking about a journey that takes years and takes a lot of love and a lot of support.
Amen.
So we want to give them everything we can to equip them for success in this field.
Praise God. Praise God. And folks, if anybody wonders, where is God in the midst of this? Let me tell you that God has made it very, very clear, not only that sin has dire consequences, but that anyone who causes one of these little ones who believe in Him to sin, and anybody who leads them into this is setting them up for a life of sin. And not that they're guilty for being raped, but that when you've been through that, it is very, very hard for them to recover and just return and step back into a righteous life. It's not impossible. With God's grace, it is possible.
No, but it's hard for them. They're so broken. They only trust the craziest, the chaos that they've lived in. And they don't feel worthy. Worthy of love. Don't feel worthy of being rescued.
That's right. And so Jesus says, if you do that, anyone who causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin would be better off. Better off. Please notice those words. You'd be better off with a millstone tied around his neck and drowned in the depths of the sea. Jesus is not just recommending a challenging aquatic workout. He is saying there are some people who would be better off dead. Jesus says they'd be better off with a millstone tied around their neck and drowned in the depths of the sea. So when I talk about advocating, for instance, the death penalty for people who treat children this way, I'm not being any meaner than Jesus. And nobody, by the way, is more compassionate than Jesus. Jesus gave his life on the cross to save sinners like me who don't deserve it. But I want us to be very, very clear that this kind of crime is especially heinous in God's eyes. And God promises that he will deal with it. And I've seen God bring healing and transformation into the lives of children who have been victimized in this way. I've seen it happen. I haven't just heard the stories. I know some of those kids whose lives have been changed by the grace of God. And I'm telling you, you do need, as Lisa said, to be praying for those who are involved, not just in the rescues, but in the ministry of restoration, helping these children, helping these women to find their way back. I remember in Eastern Europe seeing women wearing almost no clothes, standing by the roadside, determined to try and get traffic to stop and pick them up. And they were clearly prostitutes. And I said to the fellow who was driving us, why would they be so blatant and so desperate? What's going on? He said, if they do not get the required number of customers by the end of the day, they will be beaten. And he said, that's why they will do almost anything. It is not at all that they want this. It is that they want to try and escape the beatings. And folks, I mean, these are demonically cruel masters that these slaves have. And Jesus came to set the captive free. And the church had better be involved at every opportunity in the ministry of setting the captives free and bringing restoration. The title, Caged No More, is a wonderful title for this film and for this project. And Lisa, I'm delighted to see that this is the first of a trilogy related to the topic of human trafficking and its survivors. Talk with us a little bit about the fact that there's more to come.
Absolutely. So with this one, we obviously highlight that trafficking is happening. And the next one, we're going to take a look at the restoration. You know, what happens to the girls once they are rescued? Mm-hmm. What is the mental games that they have to go through? The torture of being afraid that it's going to come back and being afraid of how others are going to treat them and all those things. And then the third one, we take it global. So it becomes the global battle that it is today.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thank you so much, Lisa, for what you have done, what you are doing, and what we believe by God's grace you're going to do in the years to come. God bless you, and I hope our listeners will not only see the film, Caged No More, but I hope that they will pray for you and for your team as you continue to work on this series of films that have the potential to impact many, many lives.
That is very gracious of you. Thank you so much. Everybody, be sure and get your DVDs out. If you want to make a call to action, pick one up, pick an extra one up, take them to your pastor, take it to your youth pastor, take it to your school. You know, we can all do something in this fight. And so use this. We've made it for everyone to get the conversation started.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books. We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.